The Craniofacial Foundation of America works with patients that have severe facial deformities. Coming up April 14th is the 5th annual Palate to Palate event, helping to raise funds for the foundation. The focus for Palette to Palette is art, and I spoke with an internationally recognized street painter that will be featured at the event. If you spend time on social networking sites or surfing the web, chances are you have seen the work of Tracy Lee Stone. She perfected her art on the streets of Ventura, California, literally on the streets. She creates temporary three-dimensional art in a two-dimensional medium using chalk, streets, and sidewalks.
Street art is very popular in the last several years and doesn't seem to be letting up anytime soon, which is great. Very excited to be a part of that.
You are a very detailed artist, and some of your work is almost Rubenesque, yet you're using chalk on concrete.
That's correct. You know, working on these pieces, you have several days to complete them, and depending on the subject matter and the time that you have, you really can indulge in your desire to noodle away on the drawing. As much as you like. You know, it really depends on the design of the piece. I certainly do enjoy getting the detailed elements into my pieces. It makes them richer and a little bit more vibrant, I think.
Now, you're working in a 2D medium. We're talking a flat street and chalk, yet you're working in a skewed perspective so that from one point it appears 3D. How long did it take you to perfect that technique?
Well, I started dabbling in this right after I created my first drawing, which is back in 1998. There were definitely a few people practicing this 3D technique, but no one was teaching. It was pretty much every man for himself at that point. So I would say it probably took me a good 4 years to figure out all the principles just by piecing things together, you know, reading about anamorphic projection, studying some of the Baroque masters, trial and error, really, just making drawings. And some of them were flops and failures, but the ones that were successful were able to push me in that direction where I understood the techniques that were involved. So, yeah, I'd say about 4 years with, you know, drawing here and there. I wasn't drawing full-time at that point. Now I just feel like I am very confident with the principles that govern this method of drawing, so I'm not shy about going out and just starting a drawing somewhere now.
Based on your website, you have a basic outline idea, but then a lot of it's freehand, the depth and detail you add right there.
Yeah. I'm not one of those artists that puts the image into the computer and skews it and then copies it. I don't really like to practice that way. I like to push my mind a little bit when I'm working. Sometimes I'll be working on a skewed image, but I'm actually looking at the unskewed image and trying to sort out where the warpage and the distortion go is really a brain teaser. I like a little bit of a challenge when I'm working.
Also, you include shadows. Now, these shadows are also skewed.
It's the lighting, it's the rendering, the shadowing, all of that stuff, all of the things that go into defining a form and making that appear more realistic than something that's rendered very flatly. So understanding how that works has been a challenge for sure, but I tend to think abstractly anyway. So once I was able to get a few organic images down and understood how the shadowing worked on it, I feel pretty confident with that now.
The depth on some of your work is just amazing. I mean, it looks like you've pried open the street space and discovered another world underneath. And what you do is you set up one spot where you have a 3D lens for people to look through to get the full effect of your art.
That viewing type device has been around since the 1800s, and several artists throughout the course of my career have used a viewing lens, but really the viewing lens is only for people that don't have cameras. The images work best through a camera lens because it's a mono lens. We don't see the depth and the illusion the way a single lens would, just because of the way our brain works with our eyesight. So I've set up the lens mostly for children because they, you know, oftentimes don't have a camera and they want to see what's going on. If you close one eye and squint through the lens, you can get a feeling for that image dropping down into the pavement. It's just a neat way to view the artwork.
All of the work you create is going to go away the next time it rains.
Oh, I don't mind that at all. It's, you know, it's really a performance-based art form, and I equate it to Tibetan sand paintings or a musical performance. Really, it's about being there and experiencing it. I don't really have an issue with it going away. I like the fact that it's ephemeral and impermanent and makes it that much more special for me.
You work alone quite often, and sometimes you bring in a crew of other artists that work with you. How do you pick your fellow artist for that?
Well, you know, I have over the years mentored, oh, I'd say a handful of people, and there are other artist friends of mine or people that are interested in street painting. I invite them along and teach them, and some really latch on to the art form. Others, you know, experience it for a short time and then they move on. But I usually select people that have worked with me or have a genuine interest in working with me and learning. I have a couple of people right now who, you know, they're street painters in their own right. They do their own pieces. But when I have a project that's large and I need some help, I call on them. And usually they're very obliging, which is wonderful for me. And we always have a good time. Find people that work in a similar style to you, or you can train them to emulate your style, and that way the piece looks seamless when you're finished with it. Definitely there are certain artists that I gravitate towards as far as assistance goes.
Have you ever been to Chattanooga? Because you've been all over the world.
I actually have not been to Chattanooga, so I'm looking forward to it. It sounds like the weather should be good at that time of year over there, and I'm just looking forward to getting out and meeting people in the community and sharing art and seeing what the local artists are up to. So, yeah, very excited to get there.
Palette to Palette will be held Saturday, April 14th, beginning at 5 p.m. It starts with a gallery stroll that will take attendees through several Southside galleries where you can meet local artists and enjoy fine wines and sample some of the best in culinary art available in the scenic city. There will also be a youth gallery featuring work from local high school students. Tracy Lee Stone will be featured at the Living Art Gallery held at Loose Cannon Studios. The event wraps up with a concert at Track 29 with Bubbles and Sweets, Champagne and Dessert, with Willie Kitchens and his band. All of the proceeds for Palette to Palette will benefit the Craniofacial Foundation of America to continue their work through the Tennessee Craniofacial Center at Children's Hospital at Erlanger. The Craniofacial Foundation helps patients with facial deformities. Follow the links from our website at wutc.org under Around and About to see some of Tracy Lee Stone's work, as well as get information about Palette to Palette. Tickets can be purchased on the web at www.p2chattanooga.com. For Around and About, this is Rabbit.